Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Thank you, and that was a little taste of some cool water. Speaking of cool water, that was actually by Angie Matson. Do check her out, angiematson.com. That's from her new LP, Skeleton Arm. I play a lot of her stuff. I know you guys all love that stuff. Speaking of that, because it's cool water, sort of funny because to all my listeners in Thailand, it's Suksan Wong Songkran, which means Happy New Year, and it's their new year, and they normally throw water around each other. So I thought it was all, why not have some cool water song? Anyway, welcome to When Pigs Fly, and of course, this is Andrew Fetter. Well, at least I think it is. Last time I looked in the mirror, unless there was a step in. If I ever went out of a body and somebody stepped in behalf of me, but anyway, nonetheless. All those out there who are celebrating or will be celebrating Easter, I believe Easter this Sunday, somebody said to me, and I go, oh, whoa. So, in Loon's Beck, happy Easter. And if it's Easter, I guess today would be a good Friday, but isn't every day a good Friday? Well, hopefully it is. And for those who will be celebrating Passover next week, happy Passover and Chag Sameach. I got just one brief announcement. For all those out there and down under in Australia and New Zealand, of course, do check out. There's a big, huge, massive concerts coming out. As I said to you, IE Warrant and LA Guns will be heading to Australia this April and May 2011. So do check that out. I think you'll all be pleasantly surprised. Go to intenseimpact.com. And that has the information exactly for the locations and access to purchasing tickets and links to take you straight to the venues themselves to purchase the tickets. I guess through Ticket Tech is through Australia and through Ticketmasters through the show in Auckland and New Zealand. But they will be playing on the 29th at the Palace in Melbourne. That's April 29th. And then on the 30th in April, the Annual Bar at the Act. And then coming back to Auckland, they'll be hitting on to the Power Station. That's on May 2nd. And then back to Brisbane, Tivoli, May 7th. And then finishing off at the Metro in Sydney on Sunday, May 8th. Again, you can get those tickets over at Ticket Tech or Ticketmaster, but there are direct links from their website at intense-impact.com. And you should go. I mean, it's going to be a rock and rolling. It's a limited time engagement. So, I've been thinking, and to get things off, sort of off my chest, but things I've consistently seen. I know people constantly watching the news, what's in Libya and Egypt and Yemen, between the Israelis, the Palestinians, Gaza. I mean, you turn on the news, and it's ironic that of the international news, it's as if the whole world is just the Middle East. Like, that, nothing else happens around, but it seems like 90% of the information or the stuff that's discussed is the Middle East. Going to the world, even it's funny in on op-eds, on for example, on Huffington Post, and you'll see half of them are discussing always about the Israeli-Palestinian thing. I mean, it's amazing of such a small little thing, item, how it manifests for how much people are affected. Or, you know, and then there's other issues like happening in Algeria to Libya to, like I said, Egypt, and going across this in Syria and Jordan and Iran, Iraq, and it's all the what's happening in the Middle East and the dynamics of that. So I felt it was really important to really get a reality of what the true nature of the dynamics of the Middle East. And I have, since I've lived there for straight 6 years during the 80s, and I constantly have been in contact, and I also still visit there several times, I have a first-hand knowledge of the culture and mentality of all of those who live there, particularly in that area, even though there might be discretionaries. But there is a spiritual commonality, and I'm going to get into the dynamics of things and away from certain things that are often misled purposely, and that's the building the hate. It is really, I think, time to get real with the dynamics of the Middle East, and to see for what it really is. Because what is happening there is not just a manifestation alone, or rather a magnification with itself, but a real magnification and manifestation of humanity at large. What I mean is it's opening up, it's showing you what enlargement, the ultimate symptoms and causes by our mentality, division, and hate, which I'll get into. And yes, and I'll admit there are political stuff, but people are misinformed and jump onto conclusions, and you know there's always a hyperbole and things of sayings, and then there's the reality of stuff. Yes, there is a select group called who own the Federal Reserve and that own the Bank of England, but these are not Zionists or Jews or Arabs or Muslims. In fact, these are those who I just mentioned, the Zionists or the Jews or Muslims or whoever. Each one can be blamed for saying, you know, they're running it or who's running it, and they're the cause, and they're the cause, individually in retrospect. But in fact, they're really being manipulations, of course, from who I aforementioned, just in reality, what's going on. And a lot of disinformation that's being transcended from people like David Icke and others. And people I see posting on Facebook who do not know straight up what the hell they're talking about, who make it even worse, who claim that they're all about love and this, and they'll put on the same division mentality and hate and division and hate and blame games and stuff like that. And they're not walking the talk straight up. You know, people propose I'm all about love and this and unity, and yet they're throwing about them when they're all about us, which I'm going to get into. This is where the mentality, the vision, and hate, and which has been commercialized and placed within all of you. This is continue this bullshit game of the blame game, which is the blame game. And this is the reality. This is the reality of the spiritual sense of it. Now, what I'm about to say, and I tell those who, the many listeners out there who are of Muslim or Arabs, what I'm about to say concerns you and is directed actually toward you. But it is no way to belittle you. Just let me explain to you. I look at all people in humanity as my brothers because we're all basically connected. And we are connected. One and the same. So again, this is not to belittle you or to say talk down to anything. And this is but to tell you what is, explain to you the reality of the universe or what the real of Allah, contrary to many imams and mullahs and others that have twisted you and turned yourselves into a mentality and culture division and hate, which just has culminated with the result of nothing more than violence and bloodshed. Not only to yourselves, but to your children and grandchildren from generation to generation by creating a world of hell, a Jahannam, within your own world with no end. This is not this is out of your choice, too, because you have complied to listen and follow their words, believing they are true and utmost, at your own detriment. This is what's happened just throughout. And this is not just you. This has happened throughout history through, you know, I'm not just holding it. The Europeans have done it and happened in all areas and different areas I can point to in the Middle East. But unfortunately, in the Middle East today, it is actually magnified tenfold. And here's I'm going to get to an issue, and he's a great teacher, and I'm surprised this is not reinforced amongst Muslims. Unfortunately, if it was, then you would have a different understanding and a truer understanding of what Allah is, and what is believing in Allah, and what is God. Rumi, who is a well-known Islamic teacher, had once said, "It is love that beholds everything together. It is the everything also." And what he's mean is the love. Love is the God, is the Allah, the love of God, Allah, of everything. That's his reference, that everything is of Allah. So what I need to do, and I will not get into the issues, like I said, into the Arab and Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Because in reality, and I'm telling you straight how it is, in reality is it been just become not an issue of ever been of land. It never has been. And you know it hasn't been. Come on. It's been an issue of between Muslims and Jews. Just as it has been with Pakistan and Indians. Just as it has been with, and then it was the Muslim versus the Hindu. Just as there is in Africa, Muslim for Christian. Just as there is in Southeast Asia, Muslim versus Christian. Just as in Europe, Muslim versus Christian. And the U.S. the same, and even amongst the Muslims themselves, between the Shiite and Sunni. Look what I can point out, you know, all those cases. I mean, from Lebanon to Iraq to, right now, you know, even within Syria, within... Gulf states right now with Barhan and all that. Anyway, I mean, the meaning in the eyes of the universe, in Allah, which are all, and the universe is Allah, sees this, and this is the reality. Like I said, these are in the eyes of Allah. And what is it telling you? It's a common issue amongst all. And again, I'm not dispersing, pointing blame or anything. I'm just showing you a reality. It's a common denominator. It's basically, it has become the ultimate tumor. Not that saying you are a tumor, but the mentality and of perceptions and things that have created division have created the ultimate tumor in your society, which have manifested nothing more than destruction and killing and maiming. For what? And if you think about it, it's really stupid. It's ignorant. It's illogical in the real sense. And that is the reality in the spiritual sense in the world. If people from outside the world, if you stepped out and you were an alien, you came visiting the world, and you look on what's going on and how the concepts, and just think about that. Think of if you are not from this world, and you are looking at what's going on in the Middle East, and what they're killing and fighting for and arguing over, you would look at them as barbaric, ignorant. And I'm talking with between Jews and Christians, and of course I'm talking about Muslims. Because, like, I'm just naming those names, but they're really, you guys are all connected. And this is the problem, the mentality, the perception that we have placed within us, this mentality of division and separation from one another. And this is what's been corresponded between, unfortunately, amongst in the Middle East, amongst Muslim and Arab culture. I mean, this is where there's an illusion that you have been created amongst yourselves. This is your own illusion to hate the other as a separation from you. And if you hate somebody else, who is also part of Allah, because Allah is everything, then that in reality, you're not really believing in Allah. Allah is God, Allah is everything, correct? So if you hate somebody, or disparage, or want to kill somebody, then you literally anti-Allah. You're anti what is in the reality of a real, if you want to call it true Muslim or true believer, a true believer could be from any path. I'm just showing you in reality what it is. Think about it. It's simple logic. Simple understanding. And I'm just telling you who have been lied to hate. You've been lied to germinate the seeds of hate and division. From not just you, your parents have been taught this, down to your kids, and now it's continuing on. And when you teach hate to a child, and division to a child, what have you done? You've actually condemned your own children to their own misery, their own poverty, their own deaths. And it's continued from generation to generation. And I'm going to read off some of this. I mean, if you get into verses within the scriptures of different, whether it's the Bible or Quran, I mean, there's tons of violent stuff. But, you know, there in the Quran, there's approximately 109 verses I know, let alone, that call upon Muslims to war upon non-believers. Now, I'm asking you, if you are going to set upon yourself to go war upon non-believers, quote-unquote, or Jews or Christians or whoever, tell me, is this love? Is this loving God? Is this loving Allah? Now, I know there is stuff that's said in within the Bible, the Judaic Christian Bible, saying stone the adulterers, stoning the gays or whatever. But you don't see Jews or Christians stoning, do you? And it's because there's they have been moving toward, and you can call it modernization, the more moderate, which is most of them, have realized, come to terms that, you know, those are old. That's not reality. They're realizing we are all connected. We have to learn to get along, live together. It's like that movie. There was a movie that I remember Adam Sandler put on, the Zohan movie, where Palestinians and Jews have to get together. And they show how he shows how they're being manipulated to hate each other, which is sort of ironically true. That we're, if they take them out, if you took the Arab, the Palestinians and the Jews and the Muslims and Jews and stick them together and work together, they work together. You guys, we're all one of the same coin. And in reality, we're brothers. One way or the other. That's the whole point. If you're brothers, you shouldn't be, you need a fight. Esau versus Isaac. Ishmael versus, you know, I mean, Esau versus Jacob, and Isaac versus Ishmael. It's the same thing with the same, we're the same coin. And the whole point of it is not that you're just brothers, it's to show that you're all, we're all connected. We're all one branch. We're all one tree. So I'm asking, you don't see the Jews or Christians stoning, and you don't see them having massive violent protests because somebody said something or did something that you felt they felt was disrespectful or blasphemous toward their beliefs or images or effects. This is what I'm saying to you. When you go out to the extreme over some thing that you, it's so ridiculous over an object and get all upset over it. When in reality, it's a piece of paper. In reality, it's a stone. In reality, it's an image. Even if it's an idea, it's just an idea. I mean, in the Quran, it specifically says, and this I'll just read off two paragraphs. It says in here, and this is in Quran 2:19, says, and slay them wherever ye find them, and drive them out of the places where hence drove out, for the permission of Muslims is worse than slaughter of non-Muslims. Fight them until persecution is no more, and the religion is for Allah. Basically saying, you know, wipe out every non-believer until they're saying they believe in Allah. But is that right? That's what. How different would that be of Nazism? How different would that be if Jews came in and said, okay, we're going to make everybody a Jew? How would that be different if everybody said, no, you're going to be a Christian? It's the same thing. That's wrong. And you don't see that happening. I mean, there's a minute people. Can you imagine if, you know, we had a Oral Roberts or in the United States, actually, you know, this country in the United States was a theocracy. It would be like Iran. We'd have Christians president telling everybody has to be Christian and follow their what they believe to be Christianity. It's like what they think should be Muslim. In reality, is not really a Muslim. As real Muslim, you get down to the core, is what? Believing Allah, believing Allah is everything. Allah is everybody's of God. And I'm using Allah, that's just the name of God. But here's the word, it's sort of ironic, where it says to be peaceful amongst Muslims, to remain peaceful. And this is what it says when Muslims want to be peaceful, it says not to be. Okay, now I'm showing you, this is scripture. It's out of Quran 495. Not equal are those believers sit at home, receive no hurt, and those strive and fight in the cause of Allah with their goods and persons. Allah hath granted a grade higher to those who strive and fight with their goods and persons than to sit at home. Unto all in faith hath Allah promised good. But those who strive and fight hath He distinguished above those who sit at home by a special war. Meaning, basically, if you're sitting around and you don't want to fight and you're being a pacifist, you're not walking the way of Allah. I mean, you're walking in the way of Allah by going out and killing people. But if you decide to be peaceful and loving and kind, that's not... See what I'm saying? Somebody has twisted something. This is where a lot of things get manufactured and fabricated. This is where I think things have been manipulated and happened. And the reality is, some things we have to face the reality. You know, things. You know, Moses went in and they slaughtered certain nations to do what they did. Christians do the same, and so did Muslims. But we live today where coming to terms where we are in reality have to see that we are all humanity is one. That we are all people. We are all the souls and we are all connected to each other. You see, this thing that I just mentioned to you has created this division, this bullshit of an illusion of us against them. It's us against them, which frankly is pure bullshit. Why do you, this, that, this is, or has been going on and on and on? With fighting over and over, my God is better than your God, nonsense. I mean, the Greek city-states did this over 2,500 years ago, fighting over the statues. Who controls what temple statue? You look at today, that's like ignorant, right? Well, so how far is it today saying my God is better than your God, so I can plant a crescent flag or another flag? That's retarded. It's really, you don't own the land, by the way. Muslims don't own the land, Jews don't own the land, Christians, that's all illogical. One damn earthquake, volcano, blow your ass out there and you see who owns real land. We are only temporary living on it. Each of us. We're saying, you know, the earth, and Allah, thank you for just letting us stay on this little piece of crust called earth. Nobody owns it. That's illogical. That's a man-made concept. It ain't reality. Like I said, it isn't reality. You do not own land. That's a man-made concept. You think people live right now where that the earthquake happened in Japan? There was an example how all of Earth shows, hey, buddy, you do not own the land. And Earth can keep on erupting and kick butt on humanity every single day to show that it does have no ownership. That's an illusion. So when you're fighting over stupid things of my God is better than your God, or an illusion of who's owning what land, this has been going on for thousands of years, which is really retarded. It's frayed up. This isn't just for humans, but it's been going on for all humanity. But it's now poignant to, I'm saying this to Muslims, because it is poignant to Muslims because they are being focused upon with a greater vehement of division and hate, more than of any entity for a purpose or reason, to cause more strife and more hatred, and more violence and more despair. I mean, people are protesting, but what are they posting for? Tolerance and love? Freedom of speech. As soon as they get their freedom, then they're going to oppress somebody else. They're going to oppress another minority. How different would they be than Mubarak? If somebody takes over a country through democracy, let's say like Iran, let's say, or let's say Gaza, Hamas had a vote. I mean, the Gazans, the Palestinians in Gaza had a vote, right? And they voted to place Hamas in its place of Fatah for being their head of the government. So what did they actually pick? Now they picked an organization through a supposed democracy who has no tolerance for any minority. Good luck if you're a Christian living in Gaza. See how many churches have stayed there. Look at the laws where it's illegal to, and this is not just of the Hamas, but also under Palestinian Authority Fatah law, that it is illegal for a non-Muslim man to marry a Muslim woman. That's a fact. That's a law. Isn't that racist? That's a division. To have still in their standard to wipe out a whole country? Not figuring a way, you know, give and take? It's always been my way or the highway, like it's my land, not your land. You know, there are extremists, but they're with it. Look in the general. Who's running what? Who's being manipulated? And it's not just there. Look in Iran, the mentality, what's going on over there. What's going on? I can point to every single Muslim area and what's happening. So it's not just the Palestinian Israelis. That's not the cause of the problems. That's not the cause of the problems just like right now in Egypt or Libya. Think about it. What is really happening? Why is that happening? Because of the mentality, the culture of despair and division and hate that's been embedded from generation to generation. And it's coming from who? Your clerics. Your leaders. Mommy and daddy and grandpa continuing the same bullshit commercialization of division and hate through your minds, through your kids' minds and everything. Look on the streets. Point to how much stuff of violence and hatred is in your streets. You tell me. Look at it. So I say to the Muslims, I say to you, that you have been living from generation to generation under the illusion and assumption that we are separated. To the Muslims, I say to you that you've been living under the illusion and assumption as if Earth is separated from us. You have, to the Muslims, I say again, that you have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are even separated from the universe. To the Muslims, I say to you that you have been living under the illusion an assumption that we're even separated from nature. To the Muslims, I say to you that you have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are separated from God, Allah, the Creator, or whatever name is used with the personification form of Allah, as opposed to the infinite reality that Allah, the Creator, the creation, are in fact one and the same with its infinite understanding. That is the reality. To the Muslims, I say to you that you have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are somehow separated, and the soul is separated from the mind, from the heart, and from each other. That is an illusion. To the Muslims, I say to you that you have been living under the illusion and assumption that we have to compartmentalize all concepts under understandings into holes on a pegboard, to strive to place names and ideas and concepts rather than understanding that the making of an infinite concept into something of finite in itself is an illusion. To the Muslims, I say to you that you have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are even separated from one another. To the Muslims, I say to you that like cancer cells, you have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are separated and divided. To the Muslims, I say to you that yet the very answer to the problems, to your very situation, to your present conditions, have always been there to utilize. But the question remains, are you listening? You have always been given a choice, and the choice not to choose is also a choice. Again, are you listening? Allah, the universe, the earth, has always been telling you how to fix your present conditions. But again, are you listening? Some assume by placing band-aids of charity and goodwill indeed help others, and all help these matters. But will these band-aids cure cancer? To the Muslims, I say to you that you have always had the opportunity to remedy your situation. But are you listening to proceed with the remedy? It is not them that has caused your present conditions. It has always and had always been you, meaning all of us. So no more blame game, because it's the same lame game. We are not of a new world order and will never be of one. That's an illusion for those who want to impose that. We have always been one world, one consciousness, one universe, and one love. All we have to do is simply listen. And I say, God, Allah, is within us, and that we don't need anyone to make that divine connection for us. But they will say, we are separated from God, from Allah, and that we need them to make that divine connection. I say, we are free to make our choices on our own, and that we must take responsibility for our actions. They say, they must make the choices for us, and we must act their way. The true theme of God, Allah, is spirituality, which is spiritually having unconditional love. The theme of their religion is fear and guilt. I say there is no hell, no judgment, no angry God, no angry Allah, that we all love unconditionally. They say there is a hell, a God, Allah gets angry and judges us, therefore we are not loved unconditionally. I say we are free to choose our own path to God, to Allah. Their religion commands us to do it their way, and only what they have determined to be the way. I say we go to God, Allah, to lighten our burden. Their religion has taught us nothing more than fear, to fear their God, to fear what they think is Allah, which is an illusion of Allah. I say that we should not be ashamed of our sexuality, that is, should be one of sacred celebration of love. Their religion has taught us to feel shame about ourselves, ashamed of guilty, dirty about our own sexuality. I say that we must respect and honor and respect Mother Earth. Thus, once we've honored and respect her, we've also respected God and Allah. Their religion has told us, be thou fruitful, multiply, and subdue earth. Repeat, subdue earth. I say that we are all one with God, and one with each other, and one with earth. Their religion teaches disunity, separation, which is the opposite of God. I say, as Rumi has said over and over and over again, Allah is within us, and within us all. Their religion says he is in heaven, and that they are the only intermediaries for us. I say unconditional love for all. Their religion gave us what? Torture, imprisonment, mutilation, suicide bombers, murder of all mankind, murder of women, murder of mothers, murder of children, no matter what creed, color, ethnicity. Death has been their motto. How many ways and how many times have people have been killed, were killed, and slaughtered in their idea of name of Allah, their name of God? What God would ever consider such an obscene thing? Not a loving God. I say we should love one another unconditionally, always honor the rights and choices of others. I say that spirituality, real love of God, love of Allah, it teaches peace and harmony. Their religion has caused more wars, more killing than any other reason. I say the reality of spirituality, real love of God, love Allah, is respect all living things. Does their path respect, show respect to the living? On the contrary, spirituality teaches us to have faith in ourselves. Their way says, their way or the highway, while their religion teaches us to have faith in them only.
I say that the real spirituality, the real love of God, the love of Allah, says we all have the answers, that we can find them within us. Isn't that what Rumi had said? Their religion teaches this. It has all the answers, and only its answers are the one, right ones. I say the real spirituality, the real love of God, the love of Allah, teaches us to search for the universal truths, and our hearts will tell us when we have found them. Isn't that what Rumi had said? Their religion teaches we have no choice but to accept their version of the truth. So I asked, tell me, which one feels better? Which one feels right to you? Their religion, or their spirituality, their real love or concept of Allah, is it? Does that feel right? Does that show real love? The real love of Allah? I say to you, go to your heart, for the answer is within you. You know, all things within us, nobody ever looks at it. Now I'm talking now into references to all humanity, not just toward, that was for personally directed toward the Muslim to see what is the real truth and understandings of Allah, not that was been manipulated and consistently over and over again. You know, I lived in Israel for, like I said, 6 years. When I was there, I have a very close friend of mine who actually is Muslim. And when I lived in Israel, I lived in a very, yes, I was in a moshav, a private farm. And it was, you would say, a Likud movement. Okay, Herut, whatever, which was part of Begin's group. And I was very much, people say, they would say outside, more right-wing, if you want to call it that. Here's the irony. You know, I started becoming somewhat religious to my latter years in Israel. And yet I was really, really close friends with many Muslims there, Arabs. And what was ironic is, this is before all the crap that happened, you got to realize the empathy and all the hatred. Going into Israel and sitting down and talking to people, people were just people. And when I had sat there, and even with my different beliefs and their different beliefs, we broke bread, drank coffee, we were brothers, we were friends. In fact, that is my best friend in Israel. And he's an Arab, he's a Muslim. I heard people from Israelis telling me, how can you be friends with that Arab? And then I've heard, how can Muslim be friends with that Jew or Yahud? And there's a minority of that. Again, a minority of that. When it comes down to it, in closed doors, sitting down amongst them, people just want to live. People just want to feed their families. People just want to make a betterment for their families and their livelihoods. That's their ultimate goal within most people living in that region. Unfortunately, outside forces, not within Israel, not with amongst the Arabs, not within the Muslims, outside forces have thrown oil into fire. When I lived there, I used to go to the West Bank, to Qaram, Jenin, a bunch of areas, all the little villages around, basically most of the villages surrounding Tokaram. And I had a lot of friends there. Still probably do. And you know what? Even behind doors, they would say one thing, and outside in front of them would say another. Behind the doors, all they wanted to do is take care of their families. Deep in their hearts, today I bet you, in a heartbeat, they would want it back to how it was before. Back in the 80s. Actually, they were living better, I'll tell you, better than the average American. Financially. You know. And what has come out of it? who pushed what onto who with the Oslo agreements and what really happened. Why was it pushed so hard? Think about who pushed it. It wasn't amongst the Israelis and Arabs who pushed it. It came from where? And why was it? And since that time that was pushed, look how many killings have going on between both Israelis and Arabs and Palestinians. Think about it. When it happened in Lebanon, the same thing. Who imposed what? When the Israelis went into in Lebanon and they were past the Litani and they got rid of Arafat and they wiped it, basically knocked out the Syrian army out of there, who came and imposed, hey buddy, get back behind the Litani? And so the Syrians came back, then came the Hezbollah. What? Because it broke the status quo, there was actually going to be peace. Who didn't want peace? Think about it. Who wants to continue the strife? Here's a quick, easy thing, and this is just I'm just telling you an idea. This is why I'm showing you political things, and there's a spiritual reality of things. Why I'm saying this, because there's, look at it from the political side, and then step out and look why there's a spiritual mentality. That's what I'm implying. There's a indeed a constant push for division and hate. Here's a simple conclusion that could immediately take care of the Israeli-Arab conflict. Why won't they impose it? Why? Because there would be a true nature of peace. You have Jordan, Israel, have joint control of the West Bank. Those living in the West Bank, who are Israelis, Jews, they say Israeli citizens, and the Palestinians there become merely Jordanian citizens. And Jordan should change its name to Palestine, technically. They have a Palestinian queen now. You're going to have a Palestinian son. There you go. Gaza, which has always had a link to Egypt. In fact, the Gazans have spoken a dialect of Egypt from the get-go. They're basically Egyptian culture. Should be turned into under Egypt. Pure and simple. Done. Egyptian citizens. Everybody's done. And all the people who were affected, who both Jews and Palestinians are displaced. Take the monies from the UN and give them financial benefit or for displacement, whatever you want to call it. Done. All those who are living in dispersed areas under refugee status, all those nations where they reside, immediately give them citizenship and they get certain amount of monies to start all anew. Boom. Done. And there's plenty able to do that. Simple. Done. Why wouldn't they do it? They know they can do this concept. Because why? It would actually cause peace. It'd also be done. It'd cause a thing where there's no feeling of separation, hatred. Everybody gets along. But why? They want consistency of hatred toward one another. That is the mentality, a division mentality. And it's utilized through religions. Ultimately, religions have caused people to think they're separate, that my God is better than your God. This is like manifested really heavy into the Middle East. All the bullshit that people say, oh, this is Zionist and that. Why? So in like Europe, they'll say Zionists are doing this. Well, somebody can easily say the same thing about Muslims. If the Zionists are controlling the U.S., someone can easily say, oh no, like over here, there are people who think the Muslims control shit. Why? Again, give you an example. Saudi Arabia, the oil. Why did the Bin Laden family allow to leave the United States? Who controls who? The Bush family. Look how tight they were with the Saudi family, the Bin Laden family. Financially. What is, from Brent oil to what's it called? Aramco, American oil company, since the 30s, tight relationship. How was Saudi Arabia created? First of all, it's called Arabia, and the Saudi family was given that. Decided so the Saudis have that country? The British and the Americans. And then they gave the Hashemites Jordan and Iraq. And it was all for manipulation. And they created a division and created people to hate each other. So while everybody's fighting amongst each other, they go cling, cling, and they collect. Division. Hatred. They do it again and again. The peace movement, the protests that are going on. You know what the biggest scare, I think, of in the Middle East? Was actually the uprisings, I feel that maybe the uprisings in Iran. The uprisings in Iran that were over against the present BS government that's been in place, the mullahs, that the people want a real freedom, choose, not live under a totalitarian Islamic dictatorship oligarchy, not to have their be beaten because they kiss their girlfriend. That's nonsense. To get beaten up for adultery? Where is this mentality? Why do you have to go beat up a woman? And making women even a less than a man? See, that's another mentality. What is that to do? It's about a control and manipulation. But look at, I was saying for Iran, if Iran had become uprising and it became democratic on true nature, which it does have the elements to have a real democracy, what would happen in the rest of the Middle East? If Iranian government, not controlled by a Shah, but was back in 1956, that had a real democratic government before the CIA went in there and placed Shah in there, before that, they had a real democracy of tolerance. And what would happen within, in the rest of the Middle East? What would happen with Hamas, Hezbollah? What would happen between the Israelis and Arab? It was to transcend people's mentalities. If they, you know, having a, I saw an article, and this is why another reason why I brought this up. I saw an article written up by, can't remember his name now, but it was written, it was an op-ed by an Arab American here, pretty well known. And he was talking about, can a real democracy exist inside amongst Muslim Arab countries? And he said it was no, because they don't understand what a real democracy is. And he was making an excuse for 200 years in America, look how long it took it to get. We're really not even a democracy. I mean, we're really a plutocracy, but I don't want to get into that. But having a real a plutocracy, by the way, means that corporations actually run the government. And by the way, we're not a democracy, we're a republican, technically, a republic, because a republic is really representative of who you vote for. A true democracy would be people voting for direct measures, direct law. So we have a representational government, which is really a republic, technically. But in the nature, the understandings of a Jeffersonian democracy would have intolerance. I mean, if you have democracy, it means you get the vote. But putting those who in power vote, there has to be protection for the minority. And there has to be a mentality of tolerance. And the most important thing, and this was always consistently written, especially amongst, you know, the Jeffersonians and what, that their needs, and this is why it was so important to put that in, as separation in church and state. Or in the case of the monks, in the Muslim world, separation of mosque from government. By doing so, you separate that out, and making that government actually secular, because it doesn't impose people's religious standards on others, on the minority. You cannot have Sharia law imposed upon those who are Christian and Jews or Copts or whatever, or Hindus or whatever. It's not right. That's not tolerant. There are commonality of laws for don't kill, don't steal, yada, da, da, da. But you cannot impose sanctuary of days, for example, or impose rules that are exclusively within those religions. I mean, we have a basic, there are basic concepts, and they're not necessarily, I don't believe they're just religious concepts, they're humanitarian concepts. And this is where the nature of a real democracy and really understandings. And then what I'm getting back into these little, we're down on earth and we're the names and everything. And the nature of all these things in reality coming to a full swing of things is to getting to understanding that if you realize that we're all connected, then you'd realize then that you have to have tolerance. of the your fellow man. You would have a real democracy. You would have respect. You would have a different society within your own society. You would have, because of that, different things would happen. There are four basic laws in the universe, and they're just the way it is. These aren't even really concepts. Somebody had said these. Actually, I'm saying it from... there's a man called Bashar. You may have heard me talk about him. But reality is a concept of how they are, how we all integrate and we're related. But let me give you the four concepts once again. One is that we're all connected to one another. The other one, which is we'll exist in one form or another. The third is all things change. And then this is the fourth one, which I'm about to say, is really what happens with us within spiritual network. And that is, for every action, there is a reaction. Gee, you know, this is also said by, I guess, Einstein too, right? So for every action, there's a reaction. So if the action is the vision, then what's going to be the reaction? If the action is hate, what is that? Just think about it. If the action, whatever the action is, that's the reaction. If you throw out hate toward somebody, what are you going to get back? Hatred. Now, people can start doing the blame game, but, well, they hate me, you know, now I'm going to hate them. But really, look, get real. Let me give you an example. Here would be real peace activists. And I'm just going now back to the Israeli issue and the Arab Palestinian. If they're real peace activists, they would do joint concerts, let's say, between amongst Palestinians and Israelis. Joint, like brother to brother. Going to Palestinian neighborhood cities, Israeli cities, music, doing shows together. They would have cultural events mutually done. They would mutually, on both sides, there should be, you know, how you see demonstrations on one side is, you know, saying tear down the wall, whatever, which, whatever, you know. You know, on the other side, there should be demonstrations against the government and Hamas saying, hey, you know what, we want to remove that charter that says we want to destroy Israel. We want to remove that we hate Jews and all that. We don't like what people marching our kids around, teaching them that Jews are evil and that and making little cartoons. And we want to show that they're our brothers. Think about it. We want to change that mentality, and we want to work together with them. Maybe how about doing mutual projects together? How about building things together? Build things in the Palestinian territories. Build things in Israeli territories. Working together. That would be a start. That's a peace activist. Because if it was by action, they were working together, what would happen? If you told the Fatah or Abbas and all of them, screw you, we want to do a mutual deal ourselves, screw you. It's a people making, you know, it's not governments making peace. People need to make peace. And if the governments can't make peace, then the people need to make peace. And that comes from both sides. You can't. And right now, just I'm telling you straight up, it's only been people from, I'll just say, there's a peace now, let's say, in Israel, but why isn't there a peace now in amongst the Muslims? If that was the case, if there was really a peace now on the other side, I'm telling you, things would change. If there was a real genuine peace movement amongst Palestinians, there would be peace. Of course, they may be attacked for out of fear. Think about it. But that's the reality. I'm just telling you. This is the reality of it. And those are people who are call themselves peace activists and choose either pro-Palestinian or pro-Israeli. They're not really peace activists because you can't be pro. Pro would be pro-humanity. Pro would try to, hey, let's try to not be part of the problem or part of the solution. Let's figure a way so they can live together, work together, not impose things amongst each other. But there are ways to do things. I mean, people are going to live in certain areas to some extent, so you can do things to change a lot of things, to create things, to working together. Ultimately, they'll just end up working together. There were a lot of you know, all these settlements that were you see in the West Bank, they used, I mean, I was in the West Bank for when I first went to Israel, and the Jews and the Arabs worked together. I'm just telling you, there was no them versus us. I mean, it was very common. They worked together on a whole bunch of business. They had not just labor, but they had did things together. I remember things were being amongst the Palestinians in the West Bank. I, for example, I know were being the middleman. There a lot of things were being sent to the West Bank that would go to Arab countries, and then vice versa. And so that's how that became, like, you can call it the tax-free zone. So there was a mutual working together. When I remember Israelis, when the dollar was, their shekel, or their currency was dropping down with heavy inflation and was worth getting worth, every day the dollar was going up against its own currency. People were like going nuts trying to, immediately you had shekels of their currency, you would turn it into dollars. So, I mean, they'd be running over to the West Bank, turning their currency into dollars. There was all these little stores, I remember, that you can change your money to, and people be in line. I mean, there was a lot of things going on at that time. What changed? Who imposed it? Why? And, you know, and it goes further, and this is what I'm saying, it goes on to a spiritual context. I was just giving you things I saw that I knew. If you go into the spiritual context of things, you would see what is in reality of the Middle East. The reality of the Middle East is actually the ultimate symptom of humanity's hate and division mentality. That's the bottom line. We have it within our streets. You know, the gang mentality. You know, people laugh about gangs. Gangbangers, this is my territory, that's your territory. And they go, oh, go look at them. Well, how different are our countries when they do the same thing? Think about it. How different are other governments doing the same thing? And there are, of course, going to be those who still dark side want to impose certain things on the outside. I mean, there's also still going to be those who want to cling on this mentality of hate because they don't have any self-esteem to do it. If they really had any love and compassion for God and humanity and for Allah, they wouldn't strap a bomb on them. They wouldn't shoot a rocket. If they really loved Allah and God, they would go to their neighbor who's a Christian or Jew or Muslim, or, I mean, or Sunni and Shiite or Buddhist or even atheist. Say, hey, man, you're my brother. You're part of Allah, too. I love you, too. There's no hate. If you really love Allah, you love your brother and your sister. You really, really love them. If you really love Allah. If you don't, you're not a true believer of Allah, because therefore you don't love Allah. It's so simple. This is what, you know, Rumi has said over and over again. He wasn't lying. And by the way, the core of Islam is Sufi Islam. If you learn about Sufi Islam, the ironic thing is Sufi Islam, Kabbalah, Taoism are identical. They say the same thing. So what is that telling you? Said in different words, maybe different dynamics, it's saying the same thing to different people because we're all the same. There's no soul is bigger or smaller than the next. We all end up in a grave. Our blood gets dispersed. We're all turned. Maggots eat us the same way when we're in there. We all return to Earth. We all have dreams. We all have children. Our color of our hair might be different, but we all have hair. We may have different color eyes. We may have different color skin. We all die and are born. We all have souls and we all have feelings. And it's a fact. We are all deeply, deeply connected. This is not just a physical fact. This is a physic fact. We're nothing more than energy. And being that we're all energy, we're all made up of this energy. And ultimately, that energy is what is cultivated with we are Allah. So, I say to you all, go to your heart And you're going to listen, hear the answer for what you really, really, that you've been lied to. And go for the truth. And open your eyes. Pretend you're like an extraterrestrial, an alien or something, and came visiting Earth. And I'm talking to all the people, not just the Muslims. And see who you really are. And what humanity really is. And why you've been, how you can make those changes. And it's very simple to make those changes. Start with not feeling separated. Start being connected to Earth. Start feeling connected to all humanity. That is from my last show, which I did about compassion. So with that, I close. Again, thank you for listening. God bless you all, or Allah bless you. Love to you all, and have a great, beautiful weekend. Thank you for listening.